Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our summer series, Walking with Jesus. In this series, we're going to closely examine the life and ministry of Jesus, from where he went, to how he thinks, to who he talks to. We're going to step into the shoes of his disciples and learn what they learned from closely walking beside him on his journeys, so that hopefully, when the season is over, we look that much more like him and can do the same ourselves. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy.
So, hey everybody, thanks for joining us today. Summer is finally here. You know, if you get a chance to walk around and enjoy this nice weather at this time, we would highly recommend it. You know, summer is a wonderful time to just enjoy nature, be a part of God's creation, and just really get to take time to slow down and see the beauty around. You know, my fiance Jenna and I, during this time of year, we make it our mission to go on walks together. We try to do this at least once a day if possible, sometimes multiple times a day, and because we found that we have our best conversations when we walk. You know, when we'll go for a couple miles and we will just be so refreshed and just feel like we've grown so much more in our relationship just based on that time together. And so we find that this is a really awesome time of the year to really capitalize on that and utilize it as much as we can. You know, fun psychological fact, men are much more inclined to have conversation when they're talking side by side rather than face to face. And so this is why, on average, men are less likely and less inclined to go to things like therapy, which are more face-to-face, but they'll go golfing all the time, sometimes too much. But we all know this, that they love to talk about all day long. They talk with their friends while they're driving or walking and talking, but having the face-to-face conversations, we feel a little less inclined to do. And so maybe this is why we have such good conversations when we walk. Maybe it's just because I'm open and a little bit more talking. She likes to have good conversations, but this actually gets me going. So if you are dating or married or just have a friend of yours that you just want to crack open, maybe go take them on a walk together and have the conversation. They might be just that much more biologically inclined to talk with you a little bit more. So you might be able to get them, which is now making me think, maybe that's why Jenna takes me walking so much. So our leadership here at Valley Brook would like to draw your attention and all of our attention to the summer. And think about the summer, because we believe that we could really take advantage of it if we utilize it. Like those who work in the farm or food industry, summer is a time that needs to be utilized. There's a lot of growth that takes place during the summer season, and the harvest is coming. And so this is a really key time that we need to make sure we don't miss. It's not a long season, but it is a very impactful season if we use it. So similarly, how Jenna and I spend our time walking side by side together and growing in our relationship, we would like to invite you to walk with us and to focus on walking this summer, if you can. But not just with one another, but we'd like to focus on walking specifically with Jesus. Now, this is both physically, but also spiritually, because in reality, the church started off as just a group of people walking with Jesus, physically and faithfully, and they walked with him and learned to be like him. When you walk with someone, imagine, and when you spend time with somebody, imagine all the stuff that you would learn from a person. Like, I want you to think about maybe going on a cross-country drive or walk with somebody. You'd learn quite a bit about this person, probably more than you'd actually plan on trying to learn from them. You just pick up some things just about how they do life. You'd learn things about, you know, their food habits. Maybe learn about some of the stories that they tell. Maybe the games they play in their mind to pass the time. Maybe you'd learn how often they'd have to use the bathroom. Or maybe what happens when someone cuts them off in traffic. Plus probably a lot of other things that I can't think of at this moment. Today I want to offer you, and we're offering you as Valley Brook's leadership, we're offering you a different way of thinking about following Jesus. And what we mean by that is because, and the reason we're bringing this up is because we talk a lot about following Jesus here at Valley Brook, and we want to make sure that what we mean by that is not just assumed. You know, when I was in therapy school, I was always taught to ask the question, what do you mean by that, when someone told me something? As my time as a clinical therapist, you realize very quickly that just because people use the same words, they don't always have the same meaning or the same assumptions about what that means. And so we want to take time to make sure that we define what this means. We want to highlight it, bold it, enlarge it, put it on the back of a bumper sticker if we need to, because we think that the idea of following Jesus is so critical and so important that we don't want to waste another Sunday saying it out until we've defined it for everybody. When we think, at least here at Valley Brook, when we think about following Jesus, we think about it in this way. We choose, those who are followers, choose to closely examine what Jesus teaches, to follow his movements, to notice what he says, watch where he goes, so that way we can become more like him and then eventually do like him ourselves. So I'm going to say that again, just so that way we get that. When we think of following Jesus, we think about choosing to carefully examine all that he says and does, where he goes, who he interacts with, his movements, so that way we can become like him ourselves and then eventually do the same thing he does. So I'd love to read with you a section of one of the accounts of Jesus' ministry that we've collected in our library of scripture. This is going to come from the book of Matthew. And so Matthew, just to give you a little bit of background information, Matthew was the ancient day version of an IRS agent. He was working for the Roman Empire at the time, and he was the equivalent of the ancient day version of the guy who added that really wonderful section on our pay stubs that says federal tax, you know, next to that huge chunk of money that gets taken out. Yeah, this guys like him, right? So after spending some time, once he was introduced to Jesus, he left that work and began to follow him. And since he worked for Rome and did that kind of work, he was very educated and knew how to read and write. And so he accounted a lot of what Jesus had done and collected it together in an account that we took and added it into our library because we believe it is that important and holds a lot of really helpful truths. And so here's one section from Jesus' account in the account of Jesus that comes from Matthew in his fifth chapter in the 17th verse. It says this. It says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, note that's a place on the northern part of Israel, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's also Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them and said, come and follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. So I want to give you a little bit of context. Jesus lived in a day and time when to achieve what in their day was equal to a college degree or a PhD or maybe even being TikTok famous came from being chosen by a rabbi, which was a great Jewish teacher who understood the law and who understood philosophy and who had really amazing teachings. It was just a wealth of knowledge and expertise, seen as the highest experts in their day. In this venture, if you were chosen by a rabbi or if you were to follow a rabbi, you would leave your home and your job and you would begin to study under this person, listening to all they do and watching all that they said and went, so that someday you would end up doing and thinking like them to the point where you would eventually be like them and that people would see you as the new expert. The best way that I can think about this and really kind of bring this into modern day terms is really just speak from what I know, from my own practice. So I used to work as a clinical therapist. And after you study in therapy school, you have to turn your studies from the books to a supervisor. And they recommend that you chase the supervisor with all fervency because you learn how to do all of the practices of therapy, mainly from watching an expert. So, and this, you know, is something that we knew about kind of going forward. In therapy school, you learn enough about all the fundamental ideas and theories of psychology, but when it comes down to the skills and the real-world application, that's learned from primarily watching a trained professional. And you actually have to watch them practice as a viewer for hours and hours before you're even given a chance to practice it yourself. And then when you get to, they watch you as you do it, and you're actually not even able to charge for your services for over a year until they've seen that you're able to do like them well enough to then be classified as a professional. And so in this venture, after we've studied, and it doesn't matter how much you studied or how well you did in school, every person in this field needed to do it that way. And so in turn, we had to shift our studies from the books to the people and to chase our supervisor, because we would become very similarly and we would practice in the same way that our supervisor was. So we were told to find someone who's pretty good. In this, when a rabbi would call someone to be with him, or if you were given the opportunity to study under a rabbi, you were able to learn in that same kind of manner. You would learn how to do and be and think like them so that eventually you could go and do it in the same way that they did. In this, when Jesus walked by and invited them to follow him, he was really telling them, come follow me, learn to be like me, do with me, and eventually be like me. So I want to give you a little bit of information that we think is really important in this venture. A little modern day kind of understanding. Every single one of us, regardless if we're Christian or not, if we're an active disciple or not, if we're male, female, child, adult, anywhere in our developmental track or process or journey, every single one of us is being formed daily to a certain end goal. As we live our lives, we are constantly learning, unlearning, relearning, experiencing new things, being informed, and then growing, mainly from the things that are from around us. And they are building us into something new. Think about it like this. We eat food every day. And that food, while we may not immediately see what it's doing to us, it's building us. If it's healthy or unhealthy, after a while, we'll start to see what it's building us into. We'll start to see the fruits of it. But we always don't see it in the moment. We see it later. So it's very similarly in this kind of thing. Similar for people who go to the gym. You do a lot of workouts. You don't always see it in the moment. But after a few weeks of doing it, you start to see a difference. There's a quote by Marilyn Gray that I love so much. It says, no one ever has it all together. That's like trying to eat once and for all. It's a journey. We have a lot of things that we take and build, and they add up until eventually we hit an end goal. Much of that forming is based on the content that we interact with. You know, it's funny, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about the super holy people or the super religious people. This is in one of the books of Psalms. It's also an older book in the book of Joshua, if you like reading the early parts of Scripture. And it says, but they delight in the Lord, in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on it day and night. Now, if you're like me, I wish I could be like that, and I wish I could do that. I've got the delighting in the law of the Lord part down, because I do, but the whole day and night thing, I'm pretty busy, and so sometimes I miss it. But funny enough, I know, even though I have difficulty doing that, I know what fruit that would bring. Oh my goodness, if I could read my Bible every single morning and night, every morning and night, I would be so connected with God. I would have Scripture on my mind. I would be able to use it when I need to. Reading the same book twice a day, every day, like bookending your day. Oh my goodness, there's such little I couldn't do with that. But yet I don't. And funny enough, I claim that I'm too busy, but yet I'm on my phone in the mornings and night. And the reason I bring that up is not to say, hey, you should be doing this, you should not, but if I knew that reading my Bible in the morning and night would form me and change me and make me into that kind of a person, what do I think my phone is doing and the content I'm taking on my phone? It's doing the same thing. Even more than this, it comes from the television we watch, the books we read, the conversations that we have with our friends. Even for those of you who live alone, that time alone is forming you. This is why anytime you read stories or watch movies and there's someone who's like alone on an island somewhere and away from people, that finally when they're saved and they come back, they've got a few quirks. It's because that time is forming them. The time without community forms them. That's why community is so important. That time transforms them, but we don't always see it until it's taken its full effect. And this means that formation itself is not a Christian thing, it's a life thing. And so with that, I want to ask you a question that the author and pastor John Mark Comer asks frequently in his writings and in his talks. To whom or what are you being formed into? Years from now, months from now even, what would you like to be more like? What would you like to know you were forming into? A better mother? Harder worker? Better friend? Maybe someone people can come to when they're struggling? What would you like to be able to do? Handle conflict better? Maybe cook? Maybe paint better? Read more often? What would you like to be? A teacher? A lover? A fighter? Someone wise? Now, I hope to not sound like one of those, you're not good enough where you are, you have to change kind of pastors, or this is going to fix you, public speakers. But what I'm trying to do is draw you into knowing that you aren't even the person you were yesterday. You're slightly different. Maybe kind of hard to see because it's so close, but eventually you could look back today and go, oh my goodness, I was so different back then. And so I'm trying to draw your attention into this. We do not want you, here at the leadership at Valley Brook, we do not want you to miss out or to miss that you have a say on who you become. So this summer, during this time when we can walk and learn with one another, grow with one another, let me ask you this question. Who is your rabbi or your supervisor? Who or what are you choosing to let yourself be formed into or more like? Will it be the content on our phones, our hobbies, our friends? Now, while these things can be great, years from now, when we get to see the results of all the things that we've chosen, are those the best options? Our main challenge for you today is this. Do not let yourself be formed by the flow. Choose who you will flow into. When I was studying therapy and psychology, I chose to study under one of the country's best experts on trauma and complex trauma and sexual abuse. I learned and I studied under someone who is a wealth of knowledge in that area because I wanted to be more like her. Honestly, it was amazing to see her do her work. I still claim her to be a wizard because it's like magic when you watch her do her work, seamlessly in conversation, commenting on certain things that most of us would think is just so not important information, but yet she is peering into their world and seeing who they are. It's amazing to watch. This is why even after I could have stopped watching her and started to practice on my own, I kept watching her because I was so interested and had such a desire to want to be more like her because I wanted to be able to do just like her. It's like magic, the stuff that she does. It's really crazy to me. When someone, and for someone who does something so difficult and they seem to do it with such ease, it usually shows that they put a lot of work into it. And trust me, I know she's told me how much work she put into becoming that. All the blood, sweat, and tears she had to put into becoming so good. And I had the opportunity to sit next to her and learn. I desire to be able to do exactly how she did, so I learned to be more like her and then eventually Now I can think more like her than I did before. So today, I want to give you the same invitation that Jesus gave to his disciples, because Jesus later in his ministry gives this invitation to all people. Come and follow him, to learn to be like him. Watch where he goes. Figure out how he thinks. And eventually, learn to be like him. And then do like him. And you know, one of the greatest parts about this is that he knows this. And he tells us something so wonderful for those of us who are interested in this invitation. He says this in the account of one of his other followers named John. In John 14, he says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." As we walk through this summer, we are going to present to you with examples of things that Jesus did, how he talked, and people he interacted with, ways that he dealt with difficult situations or questions. And when we do this, we want to challenge you not just to hear the examples, but to think to yourself, what would I do here? And then think about what he did, and then consider, what if I did it the way he did it? I want to give you an example of one of those times to look for. Spoiler alert, if you haven't gotten to read John's account in the New Testament, it's in the second half of the Bible. We highly recommend it as one of the first books to read. But if you haven't gotten there yet, you know, maybe put a pause on where you are now and go check it out, because we highly recommend going in there. And it says, on one occasion that Jesus met and ate with people whom the religious people of that day, the pastors and the religious scribes and the teachers of the law, that they looked at and thought were kind of scummy. It actually says that they said, why does he hang out with such scum of the earth? And Jesus responds to them and shows us in this instance that he doesn't think the way that they think. And that's why he doesn't act the way that they act. That he sees those people as valuable and people who deserve love and are actually seen with favor by God. Regardless of the amount of money they have, the amount of social influence they have, the clothes they wear, or the things that they've done, or the degrees they might have gotten. His disciples slowly began to notice this the more time they spent with him. And they failed a few times, needing correction. But eventually they caught on, enough so that by the time that Jesus' ministry was finished and it was passed down to his disciples to do, they started a revolution that is now the leading belief system in the world. So we have three challenges for you as we take this time this summer to capitalize on the time to be able to walk with Jesus. First of all, we want you to identify and think about who your supervisor is. Who's your rabbi? Chase them. We would recommend Jesus very highly. Second is we would recommend finding a small group of people, whether from here at Valley Brook or other people around in your community, family, friends, or other members, who also want to follow that same teacher and work together and meet together, walk together, and discuss together how you can do that as a group better and hold each other accountable to that growth. You don't have to do it alone. And these people don't have to all be super religious people who know a lot of Bible information. One of the things I love about our library of scripture is how many times in the accounts of Jesus' ministry where the disciples don't get it and they need some help. There's one time in another one of the accounts of Jesus written by Mark, where basically in the sixth chapter, and I'm paraphrasing a little, they say, hey, you know, you've been teaching in these parables, Jesus, for a while, and you know, you're confusing a lot of people. We, the disciples, we wanted to come to you and basically just make sure we're all on the same page. What in the world do those mean? We have no idea. And Jesus, hearing those answers, welcomes them, walks with them, and teaches them. Doesn't tell them everything, lets them kind of figure some of it out on his own, but he helped them to grow by walking with them and giving them time. Lastly, we challenge you, and we think this would be more of a recommendation. We want to invite you. Maybe this is more of an invitation than a challenge. We want to invite you to take some time and walk this summer, or move at the pace of walking. One of the things that you'll notice all throughout this series, and we call this series Walking with Jesus, is because God came in and performed his ministry on the earth to save the earth and bring the good news that God is near to the earth, and he did it by walking very slowly. And so if we're going to walk with Jesus, we want to make sure that we get the speed at which he's moving. I feel like oftentimes in our culture, we drive everywhere. We get things instantly with our technology. And so sometimes we move too quickly and we want God to move as fast as we are. But in reality, God's walking slowly. So I think we need to pull back a little bit. N.T. Wright, one of the famous writers, made a comment once in the movie Godspeed where he said, it's paradoxical. If we slow down, we might actually end up catching God up. And we do this, and we follow Jesus in this way because he's invited us to, but he's also, for those of us who claim to be active followers of Jesus, he commands this of us. And it's an honor that we get to do this. God told his people early on, the first people that dedicated themselves to following God, he says this in the book of Deuteronomy. And God says, now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. It is offered as both an opportunity for everyone, but also as an honor to be able to do it. And it's a command for all of those who actively claim to be a follower of him, because you can't be a follower if you don't walk with him. See, if you're a Christian, it is our calling to imitate Christ, to sit at his feet and to learn to be more like him, to care for those who are in pain and to be molded into Jesus' image so that we may live in a manner worthy of the gospel. For those of you who have not made a decision to follow Jesus, we want to invite you to walk with us. Jesus has opened this invitation for anyone who has ears to hear, not just for those who have a lot of Bible information or who grew up in the church, but anyone with the drive and willingness to do this. If you have questions, come and find me. Come and find our senior pastor, Pastor Clark, or one of the members of our guest services team. It would be our honor and great pleasure to walk with you as we do with Christ. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll move into worship. Lord, thank you for your invitation. Thank you for the honor that you have given us to be able to walk with you. We do not deserve it, but you have given us this blessing and honor. Lord, for those of us who strive to be more like you, please help us this summer. This summer is a short period of time, but we want to make sure we use it as all time given from you as a gift. Thank you, Lord. Walk with us, teach us, correct us, and mold us into your image as we chase after you, our rabbi. In your name we pray, amen.